بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ today is the 2nd of October in the year 2022 and الحمدللہ we moved on to the 15th session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed Surah Al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And I've reached verse 62. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 67. So verse 62. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. They said, are you the one that did this with our gods, O Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. So like I mentioned in the previous session, Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام had destroyed the idols and he left the axe in the arms of the main idol. So here the continuation is mentioned. They asked him, did you do this to our gods, O Ibrahim? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, no, this was done by this, i.e. the biggest one. Ask them if they can speak intelligently. So, here is a few things which are mentioned. So, in Ma'arif al-Qur'an, volume 6, page 200, Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, the point to consider here is that the idols were broken by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and its denial and attributing the deed to the big idol was contrary to fact and constituted an untruth. The exalted position of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam renders such a conclusion untenable. The exegesists have thus put forward several explanations to sort out this matter. One of them is that his statement is in the nature of an assumption, i.e. why not consider the possibility that the deed was done by the big idol? And a supposition which is contrary to facts is not a lie, as the Quran itself says, and he recited Surah 43 verse 81, if Ar-Rahman has a son, then I am the first to serve him. So the first thing Mufti Shafi says, some of the Mufassireen rahimahumullah, they say that his statement is in the nature of an assumption, meaning why don't you consider the possibility that this was done by the big idol? And this is not a lie. Because another part of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala himself says, if Ar-Rahman has a son, I will be the first to worship him. The supposition. But it's not a lie, it's just this assumption. Then Mufti Shafi said, but the most convincing and straightforward explanation is the one adopted by Al-Bahr Al-Muhit, Qurtubi and Ruh Al-Ma'ani, which states, it is a metaphoric attribution. That is, the act which was done by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was attributed to the big idol by way of a metaphoric attribution, because it was this idol which, by reason of the reverence that it commanded in the whole community, persuaded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to do what he did with the smaller idols. It is like amputating a thief's hand and then telling him that nothing but his own misdeeds are responsible for the amputation. So this is another meaning the Mufassireen have given here. They say it's metaphoric, meaning that is, even though the idol didn't do it, he was the cause of the destruction of the idols. So it's a metaphoric attribution. And the example he gives is like when you cut a thief's hand, and then you tell him it's only, you've only got yourself to blame. Right? So here, notice how the commentators are explaining what he's doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is in Ma'arif al-Quran. And also there's a direct hadith. In Bayhaqi ibn Adi ibn As-Sini, Jami As-Saghir, number 2332, it has a weakness in the chain of transmission. Our beloved messengers reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, within ambiguous expressions is the avoidance of lying. Indeed, within ambiguous expressions is the avoidance of lying. So here in this report, it mentions that if you use ambiguous terms, and if that helps you to prevent you from lying, it's permissible. So obviously the best example are the prophets. So when he said, nay, this was done by the big one. This is an ambiguous expression. And he's using that to avoid obviously lying, alayhi salatu wasalam. Another example which comes to mind, the hadith is in Tabarani, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, Al-Hayat al-Sahaba. And when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the famous Hijrah, when they came across a person, and the person would ask, who is this man with you? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say, he's my guide. He shows me the way. So he gave the impression that, because Abu Bakr was a famous businessman, he was given the impression to the person that this is a person who's showing me the way to my destination. But of course, he was referring to obviously being the guide towards the success of both worlds. So here again, there's another way to explain what's being mentioned. Another way the scholars point out is that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said the big one did it and he pointed, he was looking at his tongue. So he pointed with his fist and his tongue was pointing towards the idol. So he himself was looking at his tongue. And the big one obviously is the tongue. So he was just saying, I've done it. But he gave the impression. This is another way to interpret it. Whatever the case, the Prophet himself said that this was something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the report, I'll mention it. So the hadith is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, but it's not complete in Bukhari and Muslim. The complete report is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 9241, and it's graded Sahih. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ يَقْذِبْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَ قَذِبَاتٍ Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not lie except on three occasions. When he was called to worship their gods, he said, and the Prophet recited, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ Verily I am sick. Surah 37 verse 89. And I mentioned in the previous session that he was sick of their idol worship. He gave the impression he was ill. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he said, and he recited this verse, "Ne wa qawluhu qala bal fa'alahu kabiruhum." This one, the biggest of them, did it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa qawluhu li Sara, innaha ukhti." When he said of Sara, radiyallahu anha, she is my sister. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went on to explain. So three lies. The Prophet actually said in one report, two of them was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them, he didn't mention that. So what did he mean? The Prophet explained when he said of Sara, she is my sister. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam entered a city in which there was a king or a tyrant. And this was in Egypt. It was said to the king, tonight Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has come with a woman who is one of the most beautiful of people. The king or the tyrant sent word to him asking, who is this with you? He said, my sister. He said, send her to me. So he sent her to him and he said to her, alayhi salatu wasalam, do not contradict what I said. For I told him that you are my sister. There is no one on earth who is a believer except you and I. I.e. thus you are my sister in faith. So stop in the report. So he is alone with his wife in Egypt and this tyrant, he wants to see his wife. So he tells the king through a message that it's my sister. And then when he told his wife to go, he said, do not contradict me, you are my sister, meaning in Iman. The report continues, when she entered upon him, he got up to walk towards her. She quickly went and did wudu and she supplicated, Allahumma in kunta ta'lamu anni amantu bika wa bi rasulik wa ahsantu farji illa ala zawji fala tusallit alayya al-kafir. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know that I believe in you and your messenger, and that I have guarded my chastity against all but my husband, do not allow the unbeliever to overpower me. The tyrant immediately began gasping for air, his legs jerking. So obviously the shaitan, he wanted to commit evil with the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what's interesting, how long does it take for a man to reach that a woman? And she did wudu and then she made dua. So you're thinking, well, how did that happen? So maybe the wudu was something different in those days. Maybe it was something small that they could do, maybe washing their hands or whatever. Whatever the case, the Prophet said it and she made a dua. And immediately, it looked like he's having an epileptic fit because his legs are, he's jerking. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he added, she said, Allahumma innahu in yamut yaqul hiya qatalat. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he dies, they will say, I have killed him. In other words, don't kill him. So he recovered. When he recovered, he got up to walk again towards her. She went and did wudu again, and she made the same dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know that I believe in you and your messenger, and that I have guarded my chastity against all but my husband, do not allow this unbeliever to overpower me. He fell down gasping for air, his legs jerking. He had another fit. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he added, she then said the same again, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he dies, they will say that I have killed him. So he recovered. Then after the third or fourth time, he tried again, and possibly a fourth time, the tyrant said, Ma arsaltum ilayya illa shaytana irji'uha ila Ibrahim wa a'tuha haja. You did not bring anything but a shaytan to me. Take her back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and give her Hajar as a gift. Thus she went back and said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, don't you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has foiled the plan of the unbeliever and also given us a slave woman to service? So this is the Sahih Hadith mentioning what the third lie was for. So now he also mentioned the end, Bibi Hajar. This is how Hajar came into the possession of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But another report adds details. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 3358. So again, but this time Abu Huraira didn't relate to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he himself, he's narrating. Abu Huraira related radiyallahu anhu. The tyrant then called Sara and she went to him. He tried to take hold of her with his hand, but his hand stiffened and he was confounded. He asked Sara, pray to Allah for me and I shall not harm you. So there's a variant now. So something happened to him and he realized it's to do with Sara. He goes, please make a dua and I will not touch you. So Sara radiallahu anha asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him and he was cured. He tried to take hold of her for the second time. Again, the same thing happened. He requested, she made a dua, he recovered. He then called one of his guards who had brought and said, you have not brought me a human being, you have brought me a shaitan. The tyrant then gave Hajar as a slave to Sara. Sara came back to Ibrahim when he was praying. So this adds the detail. When Sara eventually returned, radiallahu anhu, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was offering salat, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in times of emergency. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gestured with his hand and he asked, what has happened? She replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoiled the evil plot of the unbeliever and give me Hajar for service. Abu Huraira then said to the listeners, that Hajar was your mother, O Bani Ma'issama, I, the descendants of Ismail, Hajar's son. So Abu Huraira goes, that slave woman or so-called slave woman was your mother, O Arabs. So Allah Ta'ala is actually telling you where she came from. So now what's interesting about Sara, was she a slave woman? And the answer is no, she wasn't. She was a royal, from royal descent. But she was taken captive and she became a slave. So what's interesting is the Bani Israel don't mention that, because she was a slave. They deliberately tried to lower Bibi Hajar. But here the report indicates she was technically a slave, but she was of royal descent, obviously, because she was the mother of the Prophet. So now Ibn Kathir, he adds something, rahmatullah alayhi. So in his work Al-Bidayah, on the narrative of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I have read in some narrations that Allah the Almighty removed the curtain between Ibrahim and his wife alayhi salatu wasalam, enabling him to see whatever was taking place in the king's court. Thus he saw what took place and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his wife. This was the case to make Ibrahim certain alayhi salatu wasalam regarding what took place, so his heart became at rest. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to love her very much because of her adherence to the religion, her being from his close relatives before marriage, and also due to her beauty. It was said that Sara radiyallahu anha was the most beautiful woman since Hawa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Ibn Kathir adds his other reports, and he was seeing it, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the reason was, obviously, he didn't doubt his wife, but he wanted, you know, crystal clear testimony she was pure. Of course she was. And then he testified that she was given extraordinary beauty, i.e. Sara radiyallahu anha. So other things are also mentioned here. So in Anwarul Bayan by Mufti Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi Muhajjir Badri, volume 6, he mentions. So he says, the third untruth was also not a real lie, because Sara radiyallahu anha was his sister indeed. So obviously he's not lying, a'udhu billah. Rasulullah did not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this third untruth was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's interesting. The first was, I'm sick, I of your idols. The big one did it. But why did the Prophet not include this one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Shaykh says, because it included a degree of personal interest as well. However, it should be borne in mind that their journey was one of hijrah, which was sure to be amply rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then too, a person will be greatly rewarded for protecting the chastity of a believing woman, especially his wife. So this was hijrah. They're in a state of active worship. And he says that Allah Ta'ala will give them immense reward for this. Then he quotes a report. Because in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Fath al-Bari, volume 6, page 392, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the three things that appeared to be untrue for the protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to combat his enemies. So Ibn Abbas said that all three were for the sake of the deen and to combat the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet only did not highlight the third because there was a slight element of personal interest in it as well, because of the high level of purity he demands from the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Verse 64. So they turned to themselves and they said, surely you are the ones in the wrong. So here Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, in his Tafsir Jalalain, he clarifies. So he breaks the verse 64. Faraj'u, they turned to themselves, ila anfusihim, means they pondered and what and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to them. They considered that they said to one another, verily you are zalimun, meaning by worshipping that which cannot utter nor can even defend themselves. So Imam Suyuti in Tafsir Jalalain said they're talking to themselves. They thought what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said and they said, we are in the wrong, meaning he's right. Because if the idol couldn't even protect itself. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala actually mentions that first. They turned to themselves and said, surely you are the ones in the wrong. So maybe this was an internal dialogue that was taking place amongst them. Verse 65. Then they turned to themselves, i.e. with shame, and said, you know full well that these do not speak. So now what's interesting here? Who they now turn into? So, literally, they were turned down on their heads, which may suggest a metaphorical somersault. So if you look at the verse, it doesn't actually say, then they turned to themselves. It literally says, they were turned down on their heads. If you put that in the translation, it doesn't make any sense. So if we take it literally, they were turned down on their heads and they said, you know full well that these do not speak. But it basically means they're now doing a somersault. So they've rebuked themselves saying, he spoke the truth. But now Allah Ta'ala is saying, complete opposite is going to come out. And what did they say? Imam Suyuti then says, with regards to the verse, they turned to themselves, meaning to their first thought of unbelief. And they said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you know full well these idols do not speak. Meaning how then that you want us to ask them? So look how amazing. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting the confusion therein. They know that he's outwitted them. He's exposed their unbelief clearly. And they've rebuked themselves. Allah Ta'ala mentions that. But then it goes, they turned again to their original kufr. Meaning that this is pure kufr now. They know that they're in the wrong. They're persisting with it. And it goes, they, you know full well that they don't speak. Verse 66. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, do you then worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala things that can neither be of any good to you nor do you any harm? Uff upon you and upon the things that you worship besides Allah. Have you no sense? So now what's happened? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he uses a very interesting word. He says, uffil lakum. So where is that famously mentioned in the Quran?
Parents.
And what does Allah Ta'ala say about the what does he say there in that holy verse?
Do not say
off. So off is actually the smallest thing you can do. So the verse Surah 17 verse 23. So it mentions there. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he says, فَلَا تَقُلُّهُمَا أُفْ. Whether one of them or both of them reach old age in your life, do not say to them أُفْ. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Daylami, and Imam Hussein relates this hadith radiyallahu. Because I heard my grandfather say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had there been an act of disobedience, ukuk, less than saying أُفْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have disallowed it as well. So Allah Ta'ala is basically saying that the slightest ukuk you can do, the slightest disobedience, disrespect to your parents you can do, is to say off. And one of the scholars said, like you taught even tooting when you go, that, because it's a major crime. So look how amazing. Thousands of years before Allah Ta'ala revealed this, he says about his Khalil, that he said to them, uffillakum, uff upon you, meaning completely I disassociate myself from you, uff upon you, and upon the things that you worship besides Allah. Afala ta'akilun, haven't you got any sense? Don't you use your aql? After this, there remains nothing but the argument of violence, which they proceed to exercise, being the party in power. Burn him, was the cry. So what happened? When you lose the argument, people resort to violence. And because they were in power, that's exactly what they did. So that's a proof they've lost the argument. And think about it, he's only a youngster. What's all this? All of you get together, why? Because he's condemned us. He's exposed us. We need to make he's exposed us, we now need to make him an example. I.e. against those who try to expose our beliefs. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا أأنت فعلت هذا بآلهتنا يا إبراهيم قال بل فعل كبيرهم هذا فاسألوهم إن كانوا ينطقون فرجعوا إلى أنفسهم فقالوا إنكم أنتم الظالمون ثم نقصوا على رؤوسهم لقد علمت ما هؤلاء ينطقون قال أفتعبدون من دون الله ما لا ينفعكم شيئا ولا يضركم أف لكم ولما تعبدون من دون الله أفلا تعقلون. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر